Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What we do.
That's us.
We do that.
OMG.
We're podcasters.
We're podcasters.
Don't mess with
us. Dag nabbit.
And I don't know if you heard or not, but we're freaking tea ambassadors.
I heard.
I know I heard.
I know I heard. I even saw it. I saw it.
I saw us too.
I saw us being tea ambassadors.
Yeah. We're ambassadors.
We are. So everybody just watch out.
Watch out and buy the tea.
Oh, God. Speaking of that, I am drinking some of the Plum Deluxe tea.
Oh, what are you drinking?
Today, I'm having the Gratitude Blend Black Tea.
Namaste.
Namaste. It is a strawberry Earl Grey representing gratitude, appreciation, and kindness.
Nice.
Yes, I'm going to tell you what's in it.
Wine.
I know. I smelt it when I walked in the door. I was like, oh, Lord, I smell wine. Either that or we're having communion.
Amen.
Sister.
It's Monday, Thursday.
It's something.
No, wait. It's
Wednesday.
Tomorrow.
It's not. It's really just.
Tomorrow's Monday, Thursday.
Okay. We should be having pancakes tomorrow.
Exactly.
But we're not going to.
No.
So I'm going to tell you what's in this tea because it's super good.
Okay.
It's a hand blended from Plum Deluxe. So it's got black tea, orange peels, blue cornflowers, strawberries.
Oh, my Lord.
Raspberry leaves and bergamot or bergamot.
Nice.
Oil.
That's
strawberry
nice.
Essence.
I can smell it.
And it also
it
has
delightful.
Love and gratitude in it.
What?
Yes.
Love and gratitude.
And gratitude.
And that's priceless.
I know.
And if you go to the link where you clicked on our link to find this episode,
yeah,
you'll see our link.
You'll see it.
It
really
Plum
does
Deluxe,
smell delightful.
And you can buy your own tea.
You can buy some tea, guys.
You can join the tea
and
club.
And you can join the tea club and you can then listen to us and enjoy a spot of tea while we're enjoying a spot of tea.
It's like we're all sitting around having a spot of tea together.
Just a little tea time.
Tea time.
I'm having a tea time.
Maybe one day we'll even do a tea party.
Mm. Now that would be a lot
of
fun.
I know. We could do a Zoom call.
Zoom.
Have
zoom,
some
zoom,
of
zoom.
Our fans in.
Yes.
All right. Well,
and then we could do Zumba.
Zoom. Oh, yeah, we should do that.
Zumba on Zoom with tea.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to work.
I don't know
but
why
it sounds like a great idea.
It's perfect. Perfect.
I'm so original.
Well, I'm cooking tonight.
I know
it doesn't sound like I'm cooking, but
it
I'm
smells
cooking.
Like you're cooking.
I'm cooking it. I made it real easy on myself.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Sometimes
you just got
to
give yourself a break.
Yeah. So tonight I am making egg roll. In a bowl.
Which is why it smelled like a Chinese restaurant when I walked in the door and it smelled like Chinese and wine.
Oh, there we go.
I don't know. It was a great combination.
I should have gotten some sake.
Sake to me.
Sake to me. So with my egg roll in a bowl, it really is kind of like the insides of an egg roll without the shell. So there's no deep frying involved. And it's low carb.
It's low carb and
there are a lot of things you can
delicious.
Do with the recipe. Whenever, if you decide that you want the link to the recipe, I'll send it to you. And I feel like this girl makes it a little bit more complicated than it has to be.
Oh, dear.
But I'll tell you how I make it so much easier. And
I like that so much easier
I
part.
Use ground beef in mine because that's what I enjoy. I've had it before where we've cut up little pieces of steak. I also enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on kind of what I have. You can do ground turkey, ground pork, whatever you want.
You can do chicken.
Chicken. You could do some chicken.
Chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just remember, it's supposed to mimic what's inside an egg roll. So
you don't want big pieces
whole
of chicken.
Cut
you
it
don't
up
want
or
a whole
it.
Chicken breast in there.
Yeah.
But you can even get ground chicken.
Yeah. And the ingredients are pretty easy. Again, she does it a little differently than I do it, but
let's hear the way you do it.
I do it with a pound of ground beef, some olive oil, an onion, and then I buy the coleslaw mix, which is in your produce section, and it's what you need to make coleslaw, just like the shredded cabbage, carrots. It's like a couple of, like, the purple or the green.
It's tricolor.
Right, yeah. Right. And sometimes it's got carrots in it, sometimes it doesn't. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't have carrots in it, I'll buy shredded carrots. Mm-hmm. You turned me on to something called broccoli slaw, which is shredded broccoli.
It's a really great way to throw in broccoli to a dish that,
right.
Because I don't like broccoli and neither does my husband.
Right.
But it gets broccoli in there without you really noticing.
Yeah. So I get one bag of the shredded coleslaw mix, one bag of the shredded broccoli slaw.
Okay.
I do the full bag of the coleslaw mix and half a bag of the broccoli slaw.
Okay.
That's just how I do it. You could do all of it.
Yeah.
It cooks down. Anyway, you also use ginger paste, or minced ginger if you've got that. I just bought the ginger paste from the store and I thought, God, this is such a waste. I can't believe I'm doing this and I'm almost out because I make it so much
now. Yeah, because you make it all the time.
It also calls for chicken broth. I'm not quite sure what the chicken broth is supposed to be doing. But if you want to, it only calls for a quarter of a cup of the chicken broth. So if I have it, I use it. If I don't have it, I don't use it.
Yeah, it's a very versatile recipe, guys. Very versatile.
Yeah. Then soy sauce, or you can use tamari or coconut aminos. You can do rice wine vinegar if you have that. But I use apple cider vinegar. Salt, pepper, toasted sesame seed oil, toasted sesame seeds if you want. And then I know you do green onions. I don't normally do green onions.
I finish mine off with some green onions.
Yeah.
But usually just the green part, not the... If I'm going to use the onion part, I cook that in instead of using a regular onion.
Right. And then it's got garlic in it. And what I do is I brown my ground beef. When it gets to the point of it's almost completely brown, I throw in some chopped onion into the pan. I don't drain it because I use a low-fat meat.
Yeah.
This is a keto type recipe, so if you're doing keto, leave the fat in it. Once I get my onions going, my meat finishes cooking off, I add in some garlic, then I throw in my ginger, my sesame seed oil, my soy sauce, my chicken broth if I'm using it, and then my coleslaw and my broccoli slaw, and I just mix it all together.
And do you put salt and pepper in it at all?
I don't normally need the salt and pepper.
I just didn't know if you added that.
I use the low sodium soy sauce. Mm-hmm. That's what works for me. Again, this is such a versatile recipe. You can do anything you want.
And that's the greatest part.
And for her recipe, she shreds her own cabbage. She shreds her own.
Of course she
does.
I don't
have that kind of time.
Well, she's probably not in her 50.
No. and that we love this part of what we do. We both have full-time jobs.
And sometimes we're tired. And just like every normal person out there, you get ready to go put on this big show in the kitchen and you just can't find the energy. And this is a great thing to reach for a great dinner that I think just about anybody, I mean, kids and everybody would love this. It's a great dish.
And
it's a one bowl wonder, which I love.
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, if you're even feeling like it, because I've been known to do this too, I get the already cut up onion even.
Yeah, I've done. So, I found one time I made it and I had frozen cabbage and onions that were already chopped.
Oh, there you go.
I just threw that in there because I didn't feel like chopping an onion.
Yeah.
I add mushrooms to mine, but I chop my mushrooms up really, really fine and I put it in there because normally I do it like I'm doing 2 pounds of meat.
And do you do fresh mushrooms?
I do fresh mushrooms.
Yeah.
And I chop them very fine. Like you can't even see them in there.
Yeah.
And it's a meat replacement for me. So I'll double the recipes as if I'm doing 2 pounds of meat, but I only use 1 pound of meat and I use the other
pound. Yeah. And you cook for two.
And
then you make
two.
Sure there's enough for your husband to take food
something.
If he needs it or for mm-hmm. you to have lunch the next day.
Yeah.
I cook for one. So I don't add quite as much stuff. I mean, I would love to put mushrooms in it, but I forget to get them. So if I remember, I'll throw them in. Again, it's make this however you want it to be.
And make it easy on yourself.
Yeah.
It's really comes down to make it easy. Make sure that your meat is chopped or ground.
Like ground or shredded.
And then the seasoning at the end, I think, is the most important part.
Yeah.
Everything else is very versatile.
Absolutely.
So it's anyway, great. Y'all need to try it.
Simmering in my pan, and
it smells delicious. It smells like I'm in a Chinese
restaurant. I mean, technically, it could be done right now because it doesn't take very long to cook. But I'm just going to let it simmer for a little bit while we talk murder, and then we'll see what happens.
And so, I do have a murder.
You do?
I have a murder.
Who'd you kill this week?
Well, the list is long. I'm going to only talk about the things other people did.
Okay. Probably for the best. I'm going to drink my wine.
I think you should enjoy your vino while I'm talking murder. Mm-hmm. So this takes place in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Okay, I'm familiar with that area.
There is a lady named Robin Aldridge, and she's a 58-year-old mom. And she has an adopted daughter who's 17 years old named Mommy or Manny.
Oh.
I call her Manny. So, December 5th, 2014, there's a four-alarm fire at a home on Rugby Avenue in Charlottesville. Guys, it's been a long week.
She doesn't even have bourbon in her tea.
I don't, and I should probably, but I'm afraid of what reaction I would get from it. So, in Charlottesville. So, inside the basement of this burning house are two bodies.
Hmm.
They're hidden amongst debris. Both bodies are bloody.
Oh, no.
They've suffered stab wounds, beatings, and they're wrapped in blankets.
Oh, my.
Yes, and they're definitely, they've suffered a lot of trauma, and they're definitely, like, hidden.
Right.
So somebody's gone to great lengths to try to hide these bodies. So, obviously, what we have is a double homicide.
Foul play.
So, let's talk about Robin. Robin's the mom.
Okay.
She's a special ed teacher at a local elementary school, and she has been a teacher in the school system for 30 years.
Wow.
She adopted Monty from Ukraine in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So, Monty, at the time, she's 17. She's a junior at Charlottesville High School. She also was studying culinary arts at a local tech school, and she's very into music, very, very, very into music, making music, listening to music, writing music, everything. She's very musical inclined. So she had even had a prized drum set sitting in her bedroom.
Oh.
Yep. And she liked to hang out at this local music center that centered around recording and producing music. So, Monty had been adopted at the age of 3 from Ukraine, like I said. And due to the not-so-great conditions of where she grew up in those first 3 developmental years of her life, she was a little developmentally delayed.
Okay. That's not uncommon.
No, not at all. She had the maturity age of probably a 12 or a 14-year-old.
Mm.
So, and at the age of 17, she kind of had a hard time in school, especially socially.
Right.
She was very trusting, too trusting, always striving for acceptance amongst her peers. She even had been very easily talked into a sexual encounter with a boy from her class out of really naivety.
Oh, wow.
Because he invited her over to come and look at a poster in his room.
Aww.
And when she got up there, he talked her into having sex. And so, yeah, but she would go way out of her way to try to be accepted amongst her peer group. So investigators start picking through the house, and they find some evidence and some clues. They find a security system that has been pulled off the wall.
Oh, wow.
Yep. There's a TV missing.
Mm.
And eventually, after they talk to neighbors, they figure out there's a car missing.
Oh, my.
Robin drove a blue Toyota Matrix, and the neighbor said that it had been parked at the house earlier, but by 6 o'clock it was gone.
Oh, my.
Right. And this is, it's late in the evening. And so they think that whoever took the car probably set the fire, but the fire had been burning inside the home for a long time before anybody even knew it.
Oh.
So, yeah, so that was definitely just kind of a crazy crime scene. There were no cell phones found at the scene at all. And it was confirmed that each of these women had a cell phone, that they owned a cell phone. They did find some journals in Manny's. I'm going to go back and forth between Monty and Manny, but I'm talking about the same one.
Right.
Just y'all know what I'm saying. Don't give me a hard time. Okay? You know what I'm saying.
So the house wasn't a total loss.
No. But it was a 4-alarm fire by the time they got there.
Right.
It was blazing.
But they were still able to find...
Well, they found things. The bodies were intact.
Right.
They found... I mean, it was not a small house either. So the bodies were in the basement. And I think the fire was on the first floor.
Right.
And then upstairs were the bedrooms.
Gotcha.
So they were able to find some stuff. So in the journeys of... God save the queen. I'm gonna take another sip of
take a sip
gratitude.
Of tea. I'm out of wine, so I'm gonna go pour myself a little bit more.
Girl.
I feel you.
I feel like I should have brought up some cherry bourbon to go with my strawberry tea.
Oh gosh, that would have been.
I could have had a fruit salad in a cup. So anyway, they found journals of Monty's in Monty's bedroom, and all of her journals centered around music. There were songs that she had written. And she really liked that rap music. She was very much into it. So investigators are trying to figure out which one of these women was the target.
Do you hear that, people? That's my wine.
That's the sound of a whole lot of wine, sugar. Lordy. So they're trying to figure out which one of these women was the target. Or were they both the target? Like, what's going on? Like, why do we have a double homicide? So they look at Robin's phone. She had made several phone calls that day to Monty's phone.
Wait. Where did they find the phones?
That's true. Huh.
It's a mystery.
They found a phone.
They found the phones.
They found
No.
What they did was they were able to get her phone number and get her the phone records.
The records. Okay.
So... in the phone records,
gotcha.
Lord have mercy, they were able to see that Robin had made several phone calls to Monty's phone throughout the day.
Right.
Unanswered.
Oh.
And there was a phone call that was placed to Monty's school. And the school says that she called to see if Monty had been in school that day. And in fact, Monty had not been in school that day.
Oh, no. So she's like, where that Garia?
Exactly. But she's also at school teaching. So she can't just leave because teachers can't just leave.
Right.
That's not what happens.
That's not.
No. So they start looking at Monty's phone records.
Ah.
And her social media.
Oh, yeah. That always tells
a
story.
So they're trying to think. They're trying to figure out who's she in contact with. So they do find somebody that sticks out on her Facebook page, that somebody that the reason that this person stuck out was because there's a pretty big age disparity between them.
Oh.
In the meantime, Robin's car was found.
Huh?
It was found abandoned at the Barracks West Apartments in Charlottesville.
Okay.
So Monty was Facebook friends with a local man who was 30 years old. And that, like I said, stuck out to investigators. Like, okay, this is interesting. So they look at his Facebook page and they come across a picture of a particular drum set that looks familiar.
Oh.
It's Monty's drum set that's in her room, and the picture is taken from her room.
Mm.
And it's clear that this man is the one that took the picture.
Right, because he's now been in her room.
So now... this 30-year-old man has been in Robin's house and in Monty's bedroom.
What the hell?
So they're like, what is this connection? Like,
right.
this is odd. This man's name is Gene Washington. He lives at the Barracks West Apartments.
Oh, no.
Yes. So police
mean Gene.
Yeah. So police go and search the dumpster outside of the apartment complex.
Mm.
And they find... a bag.
Oh.
And in that bag, there's a blood-stained, bent knife.
Oh, dear.
There are towels with blood on them, rubber gloves, and a pair of bloody shoes.
Oh, my.
Surveillance camera shows...
it's not a good idea to put those things in the dumpster at your apartment complex.
Well, let's just don't tell the criminals that and let's let them keep doing stupid things.
Well, hopefully the criminals aren't listening to our podcast. Well, if you're listening and you're a criminal,
turn it off. This is not for you. We don't like
welcome.
You.
Get out.
You're not welcome here. Okay. So, surveillance camera shows Gene Washington actually dumping something, a bag, into the dumpster the night of the murder.
I'm sure it was a different bag.
Of course it was. And then Facebook pictures also show Washington wearing the exact same kind of shoes that were found in the dumpster.
Gene,
the mean machine. So blood samples are collected and evidence is sent off for testing. And police go and talk to Washington's wife. Because him's married.
Oh, no.
And she said the two actually met through music.
The two, as in
Manny, Monty, and Gene. Which just that's just two people, not three. Gene Washington was a budding local rapper trying to make it big.
Oh, I see.
And they connected. He had been making some local videos at this park. Mm-hmm. And it's a park where Monty used to like to hang out.
Right.
So they think that she saw him making a video and probably went up and approached him and talked to him because, again,
she's got
no filter.
Sure.
She's got no, I don't know what it's called. But she's never met a stranger.
She's not wise about that kind of thing.
She's not socially wise.
Right.
So the wife said that she felt that the relationship had turned into a physical one and that she didn't like it and she had made him cut ties with Monty.
Okay.
And to her knowledge, they had not been in contact with each other in months.
Right.
So A friend, in quotes, of Washington's came forward and said a couple days before the murder, Washington had texted him saying he was about to sell a blue Toyota car soon.
Oh, no.
So he obviously was casing
the joint.
He had been in their house. He liked what he saw.
Come on, Gene.
Yeah. So 3 days after the murder, Gene Washington is arrested and charged with first-degree double homicide.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And at first, he just keeps denying it. Denies. But then the DNA from the dumpster treats come back. And the DNA proves that his gloves and his shoes and Monty and Robin's DNA is on everything.
Oh my gosh, it was their
blood, their DNA. It's everywhere.
Dude.
So then he says, okay, I killed him. But it's because I was in a sexual triangle with both of them.
He said,
I was womanizing both women.
Of course you were.
And he said that Robin came home early from work, which we know she did not come home early from work.
No.
And caught he and Monty and having sex in the house.
Lord.
And that she attacked him. And so he had to kill her.
Of course.
And then in the process accidentally killed Monty too.
You know, accidents happen.
And then he accidentally wrapped them both in a blanket and accidentally set their house on fire.
For heaven's sake.
Gene Washington is an asshole.
He's a devil.
He is a devil. He's a devil dog.
He is a devil dog.
So anyway, in 2017, Washington enters an Alford plea.
Oh, of course he does.
So we don't even go to flipping trial.
That sucks.
So
why? If we have, why? Why? Oh my God.
It's horrible.
Why did we even accept the Alford plea?
I don't know.
Can we reject it?
I don't know. If there are any criminal justice people out there that listen to us, which I know you're there, don't stop hiding. And then attorneys, maybe if there's an attorney, a defense, a prosecutor, some kind of an attorney with criminal justice.
Can you reject an Alford plea?
Please tell us, can the court reject the Alford plea and say, no, we're going to court, we're going to trial.
Right.
Like, I don't get it.
I don't either.
So he receives life plus 40 years. But there's no life, no parole.
Right.
That's part of his plea deal. He says, I'm going to take the Alford plea and say, I'm not saying I'm guilty, but I'm saying you have enough evidence to make it look like I'm guilty. So
one day we're just going to have a bunch of 80-year-old killers roaming the street.
I know, because of all these damn Alford pleas.
Too many crickets.
Yes. Yes. So that is the story of these sweet women. And I got to tell you, as I was watching this, and I know this is kind of a short murder for me, because usually I'm much more winded. The relationship between Monty and Robin was so sweet.
Aww.
Especially when she first adopted her. It was like a love story.
Aww.
It was just, they adored her. And Robin was divorced,
mm-hmm.
But very good friends with her ex-husband, who lived not very far from there and co-owned the house.
Oh, okay.
And that's how they were able to get cell phone numbers. And he still co-parented or helped Robin with Monty.
Right.
He always looked at her as his daughter.
Right. That's
anyway.
Sweet.
And they were very good friends. And they he just said that the relationship between those two as Monty grew up was just, there was so much love. And Robin just really wanted to, she traveled with her. She wanted to show her the world and this wonderful life. And it was really special. And being a special ed teacher,
sure,
she had a lot to give to
yes.
this child.
Oh my
so
God.
It was a really sweet. And for them to die in such a tragic way.
Because that devil walked
because
in.
This devil,
the
with,
devil
the, with the shoes, with the bloody shoes. So anyway, God rest their little souls. And we hate Gene Williams. That's what I have to say.
The Gene Williams, the rapper who killed the people.
Yeah, this
guy. If your
guy.
Name is Gene Williams and you didn't do anything, that's
then,
okay.
Then you shouldn't have any problems because you know you're fine.
You're fine.
I don't like the guy that killed these two people.
Exactly.
I think he's an ass wipe.
Jackass.
So, and I hope he's getting his ass wiped.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that was very interesting.
Yeah.
A little sad.
It was sad. It was sad, Sal.
It was sad. All right. Well.
Do you have a happy murder?
Yes. No, this murder is, you're going to be like, what?
I'm going to need wine.
What the hell?
Now, I like how you just kept the bottle right over here.
Well, I mean, just in case. For those of you who want to know, I'm drinking Josh wine.
Josh wine?
I like
yes,
a good red.
But
mine's a red blend.
I know, but what's more important is the Plum Deluxe tea.
Well, I had Plum Deluxe tea earlier today.
Okay.
And it was delightful.
Delightful.
So, but... And my dish is done. It's kind of a really easy night for me.
I like it, though.
So
sometimes we just need that.
Yeah. Today I needed it.
And we got a storm brewing.
We do. We just got a thunderstorm warning, a severe storm warning come across on our phones. So.
And there's lightning out there.
There is already?
Yeah, it's bouncing around. I've been seeing it.
Oh, do you want me to shut my blinds? I know you've got a thing about shutting blinds when there's lightning.
Yeah, because I don't want the lightning to come get
me. Well, let me just run right over and close it up so lightning
doesn't come touch you. Oh, I see it. It's bouncing around. All right. There, all gone. All gone.
Thank you. I feel so safe now. I'm not as scared. I don't like to see the lightning.
All right, so my murder takes place in Phoenix City, Alabama.
I didn't even know there was a Phoenix City, Alabama. I thought you were going to say Arizona.
And it's not a Phoenix, P-H-O-E. It's a P-H-E-N-I-X, Phoenix City.
Phoenix.
Yeah, interesting, right?
Not Phoenix.
I got my information from LedgerEnquirer.com and Legal.com, and I saw a show on ID Discovery, so... called Someone You Thought You Knew.
Okay, well, just so you know, because I haven't been citing my sources. I read a whole lot of newspaper articles.
Okay.
Okay. Charlottesville newspaper articles.
Well, there you go.
That's how I got my information.
So this is a story about Stephanie Shay Graham. She goes by the name of Shay. Her dead body was discovered on a remote road just outside of Phoenix City, Alabama. Shay had been shot twice in the back of her head. And several times in her chest and torso. And when her body was found, her underwear were found pulled down around her ankles.
No, that's never a good sign.
Police find some shell casings from a
nun. Just leave the underwear alone, people. Just leave it alone.
Oh, wait until you hear about the underwear. You're going to be my God.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
I know. So they find shell casings from a 9mm semi-automatic handgun at the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And they notice a wet spot on the ground because it's on a dirt road that they think maybe came from the radiator of a car.
Oh.
Like if it's parked and running, yep. You know, or it could be condensation from the air conditioning, whatever.
And Alabama is hot.
It is hot. And this happened in July.
It was totally AC air conditioning. It's the AC condensation. I'm calling it right now. Calling it. That's what it is.
I mean, you're smart.
I know.
I'm smart.
A mechanic too, girl.
Oh, my Lord.
A mechanic, psychic mechanic.
They get as much evidence as they can find at the scene, but there's not a whole lot. There didn't appear to be any kind of a struggle. There was no purse, no cell phone. The body is taken to the pathology lab where fingerprints were taken. The pathology lab gets a hit on the fingerprints, and they identify 20-year-old Shay. They also start a rape kit test and find that she had not been sexually assaulted.
Okay.
She had not.
Silver lining, I guess.
Her family had reported her missing. Police call their parents to the police station and notify them that Shay's been murdered. Shay's dad is in shock, and her mother cries hysterically. The Grahams told police that Shay had gone out with friends the night before but had not come home. After digging around, police find that Shay was actually due in court on July 6th for a shooting charge. And I could not, for the life of me, find a lot of information. This happened in 2007, so it's not easy to find information on cases from 2007 on the legal documents. Plus, this never went to trial. She was supposed to go to trial on the 6th. She was found murdered on the 5th.
Was she a defendant, a plaintiff? She was being charged?
She had been charged because about a year before, she and her friends had been out and about doing their thing, and the car, while they were riding around, getting into trouble, somebody shot off a gun.
From her car?
From the car. And it shattered a window, and it was like a whole thing. And the police came, and everybody in the car got charged.
Okay.
I do not know what they were charged with. Disorderly conduct?
No.
I don't know.
Discharging a weapon. Probably within the vicinity of a dwelling.
And I honestly don't know if Shay had been in trouble with the law prior to this. It didn't sound like it at all. She graduated from high school at 16 and went to college, so she appeared to be rather smart. I can't imagine that she had been in a lot of trouble, but I do not know that for certain. So she had been due in court. It turned out that her dad had posted her bail a year ago for $100,000. And anyway, she was supposed to go to court on the 6th. So police get in touch with Shay's boyfriend. Shay had been hanging out with him and her best friend, Amy, the night that she disappeared. First, they talk to her boyfriend, Glenn. Glenn tells them that while they were hanging out, Shay asked to be dropped off at a gas station to meet someone. And she got to the gas station, she got out of their car, and she hopped into a dark-colored truck with a black man driving. And that was all he knew. They were supposed to meet back at Shay's house later that night, but Shay never showed up, and he didn't feel like waiting for her because he was pissed. So then police calls Amy, and Amy confirms what Glenn said.
Okay.
But she's got more information because she didn't have a cell phone, and she had borrowed Shay's cell phone. So she actually had Shay's cell phone.
Oh.
And she says she gave him a timeline. So she got dropped off at 9:30. They also ask Amy if she knew who was driving the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy at first is like, no, I didn't recognize him. And then they start to really press her and say, hey, your friend's been murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Who was driving the truck?
Sure.
And then she remembers.
Mm.
It was a man named Kenneth Walton. Now, Kenneth worked for the Graham family. Shay's dad owned a construction company. He'd worked for her dad for about 9 years, and he was like a member of the Graham family.
Oh, gosh.
A week before Shay was murdered, Shay's dad and Kenneth got into a fight because Kenneth wrecked a very expensive piece of construction equipment, and Shay's dad ended up firing Kenneth. On July 7th, Kenneth went to the sheriff's office to talk to the police. He's like, I'm just gonna come in and talk to you because I know you're gonna want to talk to me.
Sure, yeah.
Kenneth said that he thought of Shay as a sister and he would never hurt her. He said she's like a sister to me. If she needs advice, like, even though I didn't get along with her dad anymore,
sure,
I was still really close with Shay and her mom.
Okay.
And Shay had been in touch with me the night she went missing, and she wanted to talk about her court case because she often went to him for advice because evidently he had been in jail before.
Okay, so he knows the court system.
He knows the court system, and she trusted him to give her some sage advice about what to expect for her trial. He says that when Shay got into his truck, that she what she wanted was for him to get her a car so she could skip town and not go to trial.
No, Shay, we don't do it like
that. She wanted to skip town and not go to trial, which again makes me wonder, what is this charge that she was facing? Like, if she... facing some jail time. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But, you know, and her parents had put up the $100,000 bond. If you skip town, your parents are going to lose the money.
Yeah.
I don't know what was all the ins and outs of it, because we only know what people alive have to tell us, right?
Exactly.
Well, Kenny said they talked about it. He said, I can't get you a car. And then she got out and he went home. But old Kenneth didn't think about surveillance cameras at the gas station.
Well, and I'm like, wait, you just left her there?
Right.
You just left her? Like, nope, not getting you a car, and push her out and then leave her at the store?
I got to get to going.
I got to go.
Bye-bye.
See ya. I'm not only am I not getting you a car, I'm not giving you a ride.
I'm not taking you home.
No, you're just going to be out here.
That's right.
That's not, that doesn't seem like that's true.
No, it wasn't. Cameras showed that Shay got into Kenny's truck, and they showed Kenny and Shay drive away.
Uh-oh.
So, Kenny's a big, fat liar. Big, fat, lying Kenny.
Kenny.
So, they go back to Kenny. They've not released him. They're just, this is like stuff coming quick, right? It's all unfolding. So, Kenny's still at the station.
So, he's like still at the station.
He's still
in the room. Where he voluntarily walked in.
Exactly.
And then lied. Why are you going to voluntarily walk in and then lie about something?
I know.
That's dumb.
Right.
Come on. If you got a big fat lie to hide, maybe don't go to the police voluntarily.
I don't know. I might lie just because the story is just what happened is an embarrassment. What actually came down is an embarrassment. So Kenny starts talking and he lays it all out. He's like, I'm just going to tell you the truth.
Okay, now he's going to tell us the truth.
Right. Shay gets into his truck. They pull off, and he tells her that he's gotten her a car so she can leave town. So he's given her the advice, you need to get out of here. You don't want to go to court. He said that the car is down this dirt road.
Good God Almighty, Kenny.
And she trusts him.
Of course she does.
Of course she does. And by the way, Shay is 20 at the time. So they're driving, and Shay says, can you pull over? I got to pee.
Okay, Kenny.
So okay, Kenny. Kenny pulls over.
Maybe that's the big wet spot, was the pee.
It is indeed.
Are you freaking
kidding? He pulls
Kenny?
Over, and she gets out of the truck to pee. So she's on the passenger side. She opens the truck door. She's hiding behind the door, so she doesn't go far. She's got her back to the passenger seat.
Yeah, she's doing the Scott squat.
That's right.
That's what we call the Scott squat.
Kenny
on the...
pulls out a 9mm handgun and shoots her in the back of the freaking head while she is peeing.
Are you kidding me?
I am not.
Don't shoot people when they're peeing.
Right?
That's worse than
right.
Strangling people with their bras.
Right.
Where is the dignity?
There is none.
Why would you kill somebody when they're pee-peeing?
None.
She gotta go tinky.
I'm telling you, he even took the time to pee himself.
But no, he didn't.
He absolutely did.
After he shot her or before?
That I'm not sure. He said he peed. I think what happened was he had the gun hidden in the back bed of the truck. He gets out and he pees.
And then
grabs the gun, gets back in the truck, shoots her in the back
of the head. And then leaves her in.
No. Then he gets out because she's still moving around, and then he shoots her again. And then he shoots her four more times in the chest and
what
the torso to make sure
she's
dead. What
the hell is wrong with Kenny? Kenny!
And then...
get a grip!
He says, and then I drove off and I accidentally ran over her arm. So if you see that her arm's broken, that was not intentional.
Thanks, Kenny. You're such a stand-up guy for admitting that.
Appreciate it.
That.
Right. So...
Oh, my God. He shoots her when she's peeing. shoots her again, and again, and drives off and runs over her arm.
Leaves her laying in her pee spot.
Probably laying in the pee. Oh
my God, she probably didn't even have time to finish peeing.
No.
Unbelievable.
That's disgusting.
Unfreaking believable.
That is crazy rude right there.
But if he is such great friends with this family.
He's not great friends.
Why on earth is he killing this girl?
I would like to know who came to him for court advice.
Why?
Can you tell me?
Yes, okay, I'm going to tell you. You're not going to believe it.
Please don't say it was sexual.
It was not sexual, and it was not revenge on her dad.
Well, I am verklempt.
Right. It was her freaking mother. Her mother.
Wait a minute. Excuse me?
Yeah.
Wait, no.
I'm going to tell you.
No.
Yes.
I don't want to know. And good night. And this is enough. I can't.
It was her freaking crazy ass mother.
What the flipping freaking shitting one of a bitchin'.
Evidently, her mother had been going around for years because she couldn't afford any more of these court costs for Shay. And this was going to sink the family financially, and she was done with her. And she told people, if I could kill her myself, I would.
No, that's your daughter.
She did. And she had been asking.
How about raise her upright? And then if she's 20 years old and she needs court fees, tell her too freaking bad.
Right.
But don't shoot her. Don't have her shooted.
My God.
While she's peeing.
Right. So she actually had been talking to Kenneth for 3 years about killing her mother.
No. Was she still with the dad?
Yes. And Kenneth told the dad.
Nuh-uh.
She's been asking me. And the dad blew it off. Like, yeah, she's just blowing smoke. She gets mad. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And then a neighbor comes forward and said, she asked me to kill her daughter, too. She's going to pay her, $5,000 to kill her.
No way.
Well, she didn't offer money to Kenny.
Did it for free?
She said, you owe me, because Kenny had been keeping quiet about an affair that her husband had been having with Kenny's cousin.
Wait, back up. Hold the freaking hell on.
Evidently, Shay's daddy had been having an affair
with Kenny's cousin. And then
and
Shay's
Kenny knew
mama,
about it and didn't tell Lisa.
And then Lisa was mad and said, you owe me, and now you're going to kill my daughter.
That's right.
What is this family?
And police said, did she offer you anything like in return? He said, yeah. She said, if I ever needed anything, I should call her.
Oh, God. Well, yeah. How you doing now? You calling her from jail? Because she's in jail.
Can you imagine?
What is the matter with people?
So police don't tell them what's going on, but they need the gun. They can't just go on Kenny's word, right? They got to get the gun.
Yeah, they need the gun.
So they said, Kenny, what'd you do with the gun? And he said, well, the next day I met her at her house and told her I had the gun. And we were talking about how I was going to get the gun back to her when her daddy, who lives next door, comes over in his wheelchair because he's handicapped.
Wait a minute. Pop-Pop in the wheelchair is the granddaddy.
Yes.
Lisa's dad.
Correct. And he lives next door, and he rolls up on a conversation, and he says, what's going on? And Lisa says, well, my gun needs to be cleaned. And he said, well, give it to me. I'll take it over and clean
it. Pop-Pop. He's just a good guy.
I know. So police go over to the Graham house, to Lisa and Shay's daddy's house, and they said, where are your guns? And Shay's daddy says, I got all my guns. They're all accounted for. Which one do you want to see?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, particularly, we'd like to see the 9mm. And he said, well, we have two. One's mine, one's Lisa's. I keep them in my safe. He opens up the safe. There's one gun. He says, that's my gun. They said, well, where do you think the other gun is? And he said, probably next door at Pop-Pop's house.
Because he cleans the guns for
us. Right. So then they go next door to Pop-Pop's house. Well, Pop-Pop hadn't gotten around to cleaning the gun.
No, because he's in a wheelchair. Come on, people. You don't give him chores.
They get the gun and they take it back to the lab and they run the ballistics on it. And lo and behold,
it's a match.
There's Shay's DNA on the gun. There's Kenny's DNA on the gun. And it's a match to the shell casings that had been spent.
And it was Lisa's gun and that it was she Lisa's gave to gun. Rolling up Pop-Pop.
Honest to God. Honest to God, I wouldn't make this up. This really happened.
This is the craziest thing I've ever heard of.
Oh, my God.
This is crazy. crazy.
Isn't that crazy? This is the most bizarre thing. I was like, what the hell? How come I never heard about this? Maybe I did, but I don't think, well, 2007, I may not have been
as
focused.
Yeah, we were busy.
Oh, my God. Oh, so my they God. Bring old Lisa down to the police station, and what they start questioning her, and she's like, I would never do anything, ever. I would never do anything to harm my daughter. Yeah, I was mad at her. I felt like she was probably going to skip town. This poor child probably wasn't even thinking about skipping town. They probably made this story up.
Yeah, they probably said, you need to skip town. I'll get you a car.
Right.
We're going to go down this dirt road right here.
She just came up with some freaking story. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't even with these two.
This is the craziest thing.
Isn't it crazy?
This lady. This lady, the balls on this woman.
Right. If you're not happy with your family, leave. There are plenty of people that do that. They just walk away from it all.
Yeah.
But no.
Go live next door with your father.
Or just leave. Leave.
Leave or tell your kid to leave. She's 20. She's causing all these problems with court costs. Tell her. You're out.
Right.
Go live with Pop-Pop.
Well, she's got her husband, and maybe her husband was wanting to she and her daddy were very close.
Well, obviously. He wasn't as close to his wife because he didn't know what the hell she was thinking.
Lisa made up some kind of a story at one point saying that she thought that Shay and her daddy were having some sort of an affair.
Oh, my God.
She is evil. That's disgusting. Evil. She's an evil witch.
She is evil.
She's
evil.
Worst mother ever.
She definitely gets the worst. She gets the Mommy Dearest Award.
She certainly
does. Hands down.
Well, in June of 2012, Kenneth Walton pled guilty to capital murder. And he was sentenced to life without the possibility of parole.
I am very thankful for that.
May 1st, 2015, Lisa Graham, who was found guilty of capital murder of her daughter, was sentenced to death.
Oh, I like that.
She appealed her case in 2019. That case was denied.
Rejected.
So, she'd be sitting on death row in Alabama.
Let's go throw raw bologna at her.
Oh, my God. Something's got to be worse than that. I mean, it's got to be worse than that. I can't say what I'm thinking, but I know you can probably pick up on what I'm thinking.
I would like to throw pee at her. Because that's how her child died.
Yeah, that's true. But I'd go even worse than that.
I'm just saying. Worst mother
ever.
Can you
believe it?
Ever.
Unfreaking believable.
No wonder you're drinking wine, sugar.
I am.
This is disturbing.
I kept reading the court. I was like, who are these people?
Well, they're the Grahams from Alabama, from Phoenix City in Alabama.
Insane.
It's crazy. I'm not going to be able to get over this one.
No.
I'm going to need some therapy to get me through that.
There are a couple things here, people. If somebody says, you owe me, no, I don't owe you.
No.
I don't owe you crap.
No.
I don't owe you nothing.
No, I don't owe you. And if they say, if you kill this person, just call me if you need a favor. I got you.
Anything at all.
Pot roast on Sunday, I got you.
I got you.
Turkey for Thanksgiving, I'm going to put it right on your table.
Absolutely.
You need some extra stuffing, corn pudding, I got it for you. But you're going to kill my daughter.
That's right.
Who you've known for 9 freaking years.
Right.
And she trusts you.
Yes.
Which, that's a great reason to kill her.
Isn't that insane?
Tried to make it look like the daddy and the daughter were doing the dirty.
Isn't that awful?
That's just bane. That's just like, that's the worst evil.
Terrible.
It's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
She's gross.
She is gross. She nasty.
I don't like her at all.
Yeah.
I don't like her. I hope prison is real difficult on her.
Me too. And when they asked Kenneth, how'd you feel shooting this girl that had trusted you, that had been in your life for all this time? He said, I felt normal.
No, that's not normal. There's nothing normal about shooting a girl while she's peeing.
That's normal.
No,
she
you're not normal.
She was peeing in her flip-flops.
And you shot her in the back of the head and then shot her again and again and again. And then, oh, by the way, rolled your truck over her arm. And left her in the pee.
Yeah. That's not nice.
Yeah, that's not normal.
That's not normal.
Maybe it's his normal, but it's not the normal.
So at first I was like, oh, I kind of feel sorry for Kenneth because maybe he was slow. But now I don't.
Kenneth is dumb.
Knew what he was doing.
He just was like, yeah, I'll kill her because I don't care about nothing.
Right. Because he's empty inside. Empty.
He's soulless.
Kenneth, empty.
You're soulless.
Empty.
Gosh, Kenny.
Gosh. I don't know why he didn't get the death sentence. I have a feeling that his testimony, though,
helped put her away.
Right, and that's why he didn't get the death sentence. But, whew, yeah, those are some crazy stories right there.
That is crazy. Mm-hmm. That's craziness right there all over the place.
Do you want some egg roll in a bowl?
I do. Please. Thank you. I'm excited.
I'm going to serve it right up to you. And it's piping hot.
Oh, my God. It's going to burn my tongue.
Well, you'll have to blow on it. Do you want some chopsticks?
I don't know how to use them. I think I might be able to get like a sliver. Another screw has fallen out of this chair.
Oh, my word.
Sugar, eventually I am going to go kersplat onto the floor, and I am probably going to go right through the floor and end up in the guy's apartment downstairs.
I tell you, I could fix that tonight, but I feel a little woozy in there.
I understand.
I don't think I'm going to be able to use a screwdriver. Sorry. It's all good. It's all good. All right, what else we got? We have social media. Ah! I beat you.
With a chopstick? You beat me with a chopstick.
Oh, wait. Taste it. How is it? What do you think?
I'm telling you. It's good.
It's so good. I know.
It's so good.
So it's not like a blah.
No, but you make it different from me.
I do.
So yours is different.
Yeah.
So I like it.
Everybody should just, like I said, do your own thing with the recipe. Yeah. Don't be, with recipes.
Don't be scared of changing things up.
No. With something like this, no. With baking, there's a chemistry to it.
So yeah, and it's a little bit more precise. But stuff like this, you just kind of throw
it in. Throw it in.
Whatever. Just clean out the fridge.
Whatever
you
want.
Throw it in a pan. Call it egg roll in a bowl.
Exactly.
And a little bit of chili. No. What's that called? Ginger paste, garlic, and some soy sauce. And you call it egg roll in a bowl.
A little sesame seed oil.
It doesn't matter what you put in it.
You don't even have to put the sesame oil in it.
I like it, though.
I forgot it the other night. But if you're too heavy-handed, it can be a little overwhelming. So.
No, you can't be too heavy-handed. Mm-hmm. But the recipe I think it's a teaspoon.
Yeah, it's not a whole lot.
Yeah, I do like the sesame oil. If I had to choose between the sesame seeds and the sesame oil, I would take the oil over the seeds.
Oh, yeah, because, you got a seed stuck in your tooth. That's not attractive.
Mm-mm.
Even though
they're just like sesame colored.
Still, that's not okay.
No.
All right, so let's talk
back
about
to
social
the social media.
Our email. Send us an email. We'll send you the recipe for egg roll in a bowl.
The way we make it.
What else?
So it's not complicated.
Mm-hmm, not complicated. Our email address is murder.sugarcoated.
At gmail.com.
What else do we have?
We have Instagram.
Oh my God. How many followers do we have on Instagram?
Like 938.
What?
I'm not kidding.
If 938 people bought one box or one bag of tea from Plum Deluxe,
OMG.
We could buy ourselves a new microphone.
Yes, guys, we could. We could, and maybe even a new laptop, because this one is sad.
And maybe we wouldn't have to put our microphone inside a box that has
foam in it. And yeah, it's just the saddest thing.
That we now have to place on a box so that we don't get feedback.
And sometimes we still do, but we don't care.
No.
But it would be nice. It would be nice to pay for our URL website that we have, the Sugarcoated Pod, or all these services. Podcasting ain't free.
Yeah.
Distribution
for baking
fees.
Supplies. I know it seems like, oh, well, what are we going to buy them baking supplies for? We don't always eat all of our baked goods. We do give them out to the community.
Not only that, but not one single grocery store around here has offered to give us free anything.
No, but we haven't asked either. And you don't get if you don't ask, which is why we're asking you to click on the Plum Deluxe link.
Please buy some tea and join us, because it benefits both you and us.
Yeah. Just click on the link. It's so
good
easy.
Stuff. It's really good tea.
It is delicious. Mm.
And they have like different mugs and stuff that they sell. It's a cute
adorable.
Little shop.
Tea so infusers.
Just, yeah. It's really cute.
They are a small business out of Portland, Oregon. And we need to support
small businesses. Yes.
We really do.
So,
all right,
I love
what else do we have? We've got Instagram. We've got.
We are on TikTok.
We're ticking and we're talking.
We're TikTok. We're at Sugarcoated Murder Pod, or it's Sugarcoated Pod, or it's Sugarcoated Sugar Murder Pod. I'm not sure. It's something like that. But you'll just type in Sugarcoated Murder Podcast and we should pop right up there. And come follow us on the TikTok.
We have Facebook.
Yes, Facebook.
So
very
we have
important.
A Facebook fan page. Let me see if I can explain this right, because there seems to be some confusion about it. When you find our fan page, it is Sugarcoated Murder Podcast fan page.
Yes, it's a group. That's
it
what you're looking for is a group.
Don't just like it. Ask to join it. Because liking it and joining it, two different things. If you join it, you get to see our episodes ahead of time. We run contests sometimes on there. We drop ads on there.
We put funny memes.
Funny memes. We
funny
communicate
videos.
With people on
We went
that.
Live on that page for our tea ambassadorship announcement. We did not go live anywhere else but on that page.
That's exactly right.
So
so you're missing out. If you don't want, that's fine, but you're missing
I mean,
out.
If you're afraid of commitment, it's fine. That's between you and your therapist.
But you have to join. Don't just like join.
Yeah, you have to.
Join
it. And then we also have just a regular Facebook page that's Sugar-Coated Murder Podcast. And, I mean, you could keep up with some of the news,
sure.
but you're not going to get all of the news.
No.
But if you do come across that, please like that page because that looks good for us.
It does.
Looks
good for us.
Like it and
say,
follow
hey,
it.
We want them to be ambassadors
yes.
for our company.
And so something else that I think that I would like to ask of people is whatever platform they listen on, whether it's Apple or Spotify or whatever,
mm-hmm.
could you go onto that platform and find an episode, write a review about that episode, give us a 5-star rating and follow, make sure you're following us, but give us good ratings on there because when we get good ratings, we get seen by advertisers and that helps boost us that maybe we could get some advertisement
right.
going.
We're not looking to get rich off of this.
No, we're just trying to break even.
We would love to break even, which is we're a long ways
yeah.
away from.
Yeah.
And it's maybe to upgrade some equipment.
And it would just be nice. Show your support.
Yeah.
Show your support.
Yeah.
So we're actually getting together a fundraiser that we're going to run in April. So stay tuned for that. We're going to do a fundraiser and raise funds.
We're going to see what happens.
We're going to hope that people
fingers
will
crossed
help us raise some funds.
Help me.
Help us help you.
Help us.
Yeah.
So, all right. That's it. We've done social media. We've talked about our tea, our fantastic Plum Deluxe tea.
Yeah.
Click on the link, buy our tea, Facebook fan page, Sugar-Coated Murder Podcast fan page. Join.
Email
don't
us
like,
because
email
we love
us.
Email. We don't get enough of it. We
oh my
need
God.
To know.
We got the just the sweetest email from Lauren about her shout out.
She got a little shout
she
out
did.
And she was quite impressed with
she
that shout
was.
Out. And that was good.
And she actually wants to meet us.
That's
I know.
I don't think that's going to last very long.
We'll see what happens.
We'll
when
see
she
what
actually
happens.
Meets us, she's going to be like, what was I thinking?
What was I thinking? These people are bonkers.
Bonkers.
So anyway, we love you guys.
We
want
do.
You to stay sweet.
And don't murder.
No.
Because
but
if you murder,
that's
if
not
you
what
kill
you
people.
God save the queen.
God if save you the kill queen. People, I'm going to drink some more wine.
Okay, guys, if you kill people, we will talk about you. That's all we're trying to say.
Yeah.
Stay
will.
Sweet and don't murder.
Yeah.
That's it. And if you come across our link tree, it's got all the links in it that you need to find us. Come across the link tree. It's there.
It's
we
there.
Love you.
We do. Have
peace
a good
out.
Week.
Behave.
Happy Easter in your keister.
Oh my God. Happy Easter.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.